Last week I gave you a verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now I want to give you another verse from Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to and be thankful. How do you get peace? On its own, it's almost impossible if you're going through a trial. So I want to go in literally through the back door a little bit today and talk to you about what is necessary for peace to be attained. It's called love. When you read 1 Corinthians 13, I do read it all the time when I do a wedding. It's often referred to that way and how we need to relate to one another. But the bottom line is that 1 Corinthians 13 is a love chapter describing his love for us. That means he bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. And he endures all things. What does that mean to you? Well, we've all failed. We've all messed up. We've all turned the other way. We've all gotten angry. We've all gotten frustrated over something or someone. And yet he bears all things. And he believes all things. And he hopes all things. Meaning he's never given up on you. He's never stopped loving you. Oh, he can be grieved by what we do, but what parent isn't? Imagine if you were a parent and you said to your son or daughter, that's enough. I don't love you anymore. Nope, you've done too many things wrong. I've heard people say that in the world. Never think I've ever heard a Christian say, I just had to let them go. I don't care what they do. What a horrendous thing to say. In the sense of, God never does. He never does. He's never given up on you. Not once. He loves you as much now as the day that maybe you turned your life over to the Lord. But things didn't go as well as planned. The primary purpose in your life is love. The primary purpose in your life is love. Now, you do have secondary needs. And they're the benefits that the Lord gives to us. You know, he's all those things in the Word that you might have learned, the different names of God. I've never done a series about that, but I think it's such a wonderful thing to explore all the names of God. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your deliverer. He's your sustainer. He's all those things. But when you focus on the benefits, the secondary need, the secondary benefits, and not the primary purpose, which is love, then you will worship those things instead of him. And that's really where I'm going today, because I think that as we pursue healing, even in the physical sense, and I'm certainly still pursuing healing myself, as we pursue anything in the physical, provision, healing, deliverance for somebody in your family or whatever, as you pursue those things, they can take on a whole new dimension. And in the long run, it will eventually even frustrate you. Because we were not meant to make that the primary objective. The primary objective of our lives is to love. Now, the reason that it's difficult is that we have all said this phrase at one time or another. You ready? I love you, but. I love you, but. When that's been said to me, I don't even want to hear what but is going to be. Why? Because they're just giving me some sort of a preamble to let me have it. Because if love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, everything that's said after that is usually not in those things. I even saw something that just grieved my heart. And I'm going to tell you exactly what I saw because it just really drove me crazy. And I don't like to make spectacles on Facebook. But I saw this thing that a Christian not from our church put up and magnified and exalted, and the title was, with two pastors sitting there, Pastor Kills Gay Pastor. Hallelujah. Wow, that's what we all want to be excited about. We can just rip to shreds anybody on Facebook, and we're just going to honor that and exalt it. It's like, we just killed somebody for the kingdom. I unfollowed the person. I didn't say a word to him. I just unfollowed him. Why? Because that's not our purpose. We weren't sent here to kill people that are in sin or in doubt or despair or don't do it the way we want to. And we have the word and it's so perfect. You know where I'll take you to that to prove it? Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. It's describing in Revelation chapter 2 the first church of the seven churches. And I know that this is a very tough one if we really meditate on it. I'm just talking about reading it, maybe applying a little bit to our lives. But if we really read this and say, God, what are you saying to me from this? Let's hear the. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. He honored all three of those things. That's going to be enough for most of us. What do we honor in other believers? What do we honor in ourselves? Hard work, perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men. There you go. Anytime you want to write on Facebook, I don't even tolerate the sin of this world. That works. That you have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not. The gift of discernment, and have found them false. I've been guilty of that through the years. I know who's wrong on TV, and I know I'm right. But I have a qualification to do that because I have degrees in Bible, 40 years of ministry, and I've read through the Bible 28 straight times. That qualifies me. But I was always humbled when God would show me that some of these men that I really don't like on TV actually do love the Lord. You know what the Bible says to me, Pastor Ken? It says, who are you to judge another man's servant? So I can be right and be dead wrong. You have persevered and endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Those qualifications would give anybody high standing in most churches. Right there. Those qualifications. Hard work knows the word. Persevere. Don't tolerate wickedness. Don't tolerate apostles who are false. All those things. He speaks of and he says, these things you do, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You know, love is the one characteristic that allows for failure. I mean, all the ones that we want, healing, deliverance, provision, haven't we all faced failure in those areas? Love allows for failure. So when I've been right in all those things in Revelation chapter 2, and I've been that person that persevered and did all that, and yet I lost something in the process, I lost what's most important, why I even want to be a believer. It's because I need to learn how to love the Lord thy God with all my heart, my soul, and my mind, and my strength. Have you thought how much of that is true? Is it sad that maybe in church life we honor those other things above love? Is it sad that I've been told at times by people, you know, they're not very good at loving, but they have a prophetic gift, so they don't really love that well, but God's using them, so I don't care. Yeah, well, God does. God cares whether I love you more than whether I minister to you, whether I can preach well, whether I'm here every Sunday, whether I have healing or not healing. God cares more that I love you than all those other things. Whether we grow. He just cares that we learn how to love. And we can't do that unless we first learn how to love him. So that's what my point is. That's where we need to go. When the word says that be anxious for nothing, I'm saying from King James now because that's how I memorized it, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, prayer and petition is the word that the NIV uses, and that's what it means. And I mentioned to you last week, there's a difference between prayer and petition. Not necessarily totally different. Prayer, though, is that intimacy with God. Petition is my request. Prayer is my intimacy. I don't want to go to God every time with, okay, Lord, here we go. Here's my list. Number one. And every day I feel good that I cover my list in prayer without saying one time or another with all my heart, oh, Lord, I love you. I love you. If this never happens, I'm not going to quit loving you. If I spend these 5 days and nothing occurs with my leg, I'm still going to profit because I've fallen deeper in love with who he is. How can that hurt me? That's where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were when they said, oh, don't worry, we're going into the fire. God is able to deliver us, but he doesn't have to, because we'll never turn our back on who he is. We serve him and love him with all of our heart. See, when you make anything else in the benefit package that we are given as believers as number one, then you'll focus on that, and eventually that situation comes up where you're going to get upset with God. Why didn't he? There's not a marriage that survives doing that. There's not a friendship that survives doing that. If the essence of why you're together with somebody or in any kind of a church even is because you want those things to be accomplished, then eventually when that doesn't happen, you'll blame somebody. And that's not how he called us to live. He just called us to love, and everything else is benefit. So whether I live or whether I die, whether I have money or whether I don't, Paul said, I learned how to abase and abound. I know how to do both. Do you know how to be content? Because in contentment is where you find that peace that we're saying. Let peace rule in your body. Meaning that you are so deeply in love with this God that we all serve, that it doesn't matter. God, I love you. I know you will take care of me. I know who you are, and that's all I care about. So the primary purpose in our life is to love, not serve. Love. Out of love, we'll give. If I have to give you an exhortation on how giving is going to make you rich in order for this offering to be done, then we're wrong. You give because you love. He said he loves a cheerful giver. Anybody in your life paid you back something and the way that they gave it to you, almost wanted to say, keep it? Because you could just tell how they were giving it to you. Maybe you only took it because you didn't like them. I don't know. But God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when we say, you know what? It doesn't matter to me. 10%, whatever you ask for, God. It's because I know who you are and I want to bless you. He doesn't need the money. He never has. But he needs our love, and love is giving. You see, in all the other benefits, it's you waiting on something. In love, you have to give. You have to sacrifice yourself. That's the cost, but it's what brings you peace and allows you to learn how to have that peace in your body. When it comes to these benefits, though, I'm not here to correct you on them or to take away the value of the benefit package. In the kingdom of God, there is a benefit package. Though I fully don't understand it, and I don't pretend to, and people that say that they do have a hard time when something doesn't happen. But there is a benefit package in the kingdom. How is it attained? Well, for one thing, we know there's no real methodology. You just marched around those today 7 times. What's that mean? I don't know. God has ways of doing that. He has ways of making it so that we don't make it a formula that has to be produced. He healed in so many varieties of ways. I still want to do it sometime because I like to do these things and I don't know when I'll do it. But I'd still like to do an interview table up here and me interview different people in the Bible. They don't even have to be there. I'll just do both parts. But they just different people in the Bible. For example, come on, sit down. Hey, we're here to welcome one of the soldiers. Tell me about yourself. Well, I died. You did. Well, why are you here then if you died? Well, they threw me on a grave. They threw you on a grave after you're dead. Yeah. And this grave was a prophet. And when I got thrown on the grave, all of a sudden I became alive. Really? I mean, you were dead They were throwing you in a pit. It happened to hit a grave of somebody's bones that's a prophet, and now you're here talking to me today. Yep, that's exactly what happened. I don't think you want to do that if your loved one dies. Go to a cemetery and throw them on top of somebody's grave, right? There's no formula to that. The interesting thing about the benefit package of the kingdom is you have to trust. You have to trust that he has a way and a perfect timing and a plan. And you don't worship the package because you'll do it your way and get frustrated when it's not done. So God doesn't allow for a method. He might this week have said walk around and next week say get on your knees. He's looking not for the formula to success, but the formula of obedience out of love. What you want from me, Lord, is an act of love. However that comes about. All right, we're getting ready for the video. In the Bible, there are three verses that I want to read to you. They're from Psalms. Psalm 42, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 42, 11. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Psalm 43, verse 5. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. David's struggling, if you can't tell by how he wrote, right? He's struggling with life. He's been in caves. He's been given a promise that never seemed to be fulfilled. He's been threatened with death. He's had his own people walk away from him. He's had everybody doubt him. And he says to his soul, not his spirit, your soul is your mind, your emotion, and your will. Those parts of you that struggle with all these things about life. And my mind is saying nothing has changed. My emotions are saying it's never going to change. And my will says, I'm done. It didn't work. The kingdom didn't work. So David speaks to his soul more than once and says, why so downcast, my soul? He speaks to himself. Now, that isn't a reference point for you to get up every day and you're frustrated. Why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your trust. It's not a formula, but it is a reference point, which allows me then to tell you what I've told you for weeks. This account with my leg actually happened after being prayed for one night. I was being prayed for by a group of people that aren't part of the church, and they really were believing I'm going to be healed at that moment, and so was I. Who wouldn't want it? And the more they prayed, the worse it hurt. It hurt. And finally I said, I got to go. And they said, well, just do something you couldn't do before. I said, I can't. Can't do anything. You know why they said that? Because they've seen people healed that way. And they were hoping. They were praying. And I walked out the door and I'm thinking of surgery. I'm thinking of, well, the things that are going to be involved. And as I'm walking out the door, the Lord throws this phrase into my mind. It's not me to do this. Anybody that knows me over a year, you know, I don't do these kind of things on my own. I will walk without pain and play my game and throw away the cane in Jesus' name. The whole way out to the car, I was stabbed. It was just intense pain in my back of my leg. And I kept saying, I will walk without pain and play my game in Jesus' name. Now, if you come up for prayer today, I probably won't tell you to do that. Jake said that there's a hernia being on the right side that it's being healed today, and I just came into my mind. So if that's you, then God has identified something. You live with it. But I want to explain to you what I think goes on that would allow or would have God say to me, say this phrase over and over. It's not the repetition. It's not like he's up there saying, he's almost there. He's at 982. At 985, I'm going to heal him. It's not like that. I'm speaking to my soul because my soul, my mind, emotion, and will began to doubt. And it looked at my circumstance, just like Naaman could have looked at his circumstance after five dips and said, it just doesn't work. How do I know it's going to work after seven times? We are full of negativity. We live around negativity. There are few positive people telling you God is real, God is able. Most people say, well, I don't know, you know, these things happen. And we are struggling with our mind, emotion, and will. And something inside me said, go beyond that and say, I will walk without pain. And by the way, I'm getting very close to that. Not standing without pain yet, but I'm walking without pain. Should have clarified it. Why do soldiers learn those goofy choruses? Anybody here been in the service, right? Did anybody have to sing songs on marches, right? What did that do? Get your mind off of the stupid march, right? If you don't know, that's one of the reasons they do it. Now, I'm going to show you a clip, if it's ready, from The Princess Bride. Anybody here seen The Princess Bride? You know where I'm going to go with this, right? I'm even going to show five minutes, because I'm going to show you the explanation as to why he's doing what he did. Because I did talk to people like Ashley. She said, what's Princess Bride? I thought, oh, everybody has seen it at least once, maybe. You'll see it right now. Let's watch it. Now, why would I show you a movie on vengeance? Well, let me give you a verse. Romans 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. The God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Now, look at the progression of that. This man had a purpose, a destiny in his life. Forget father for a minute. Just listen to how I'm going to relate it to you. He had a destiny on his life. He had a purpose, and he said that purpose all the time in his heart. When he finally was able to face the destiny called to, and he ran down the steps, the enemy didn't play fair, did he? Instead of it being a sword fight, he threw a hand knife into his stomach. The enemy doesn't play fair. The enemy doesn't play fair. He gets you where it hurts. He knows your weakness. He knows everything about you. He knows what bothers you the most, and he will use everything in his grasp to have that be your destiny. That level, not up here. And there this man gets that knife in his stomach. And what's he do? He looks up and he says, I'm sorry, Father. I tried. That's where we sometimes stop. You know, we have this mantle or this understanding about the kingdom, about having a destiny, about Jesus. We have maybe a vision or something that's been told to you or a dream. Joseph had dreams, and yet there he was in the midst of everything going wrong continually. Continually, nothing fit. David, nothing fit. Moses, nothing fit. So many people, Peter, nothing fit. Everything seemed to go against it. And it's so easy at that point when all you are looking for is that destiny. All you can do then is look up and say, I failed. Sorry. I tried. But at that moment, when the enemy not only did not play fair, but taunted him. With your not, you can't. Those are all the voices you hear. When I speak a word of positive spirit about a destiny or about a work that God wants to do in your heart, say, yeah, right. Yeah. That's the voice you hear. That's the taunting of the enemy. You say, oh, it's my thoughts. Sure, it's your thoughts. But he uses those things. He uses what's been said to you in the past, what's been told to you, what lies you have accepted, what curses have been placed over you. He uses those things so that you feel doubt, despair, failure, quit. But somewhere in the back of his heart came that phrase, you killed my father, prepare to die. And as every time that he said that, you could see his strength start to come back. Despite being stabbed, wounded, and bruised, he began to take that sword and fight back because he had something in his spirit saying, why so downcast, O my soul? Put your trust in God. Are you at that point where you looked and said, I failed. I'm now in this. This has happened in my life. I can tell you, I don't have a reputation. But I have a God who looks beyond my reputation and said he's worthy. That's the same one that loves you. So I have not experienced, I haven't been sick a lot. I have only had a couple things happen in my body, but I've not experienced healing in that way. Why would the Lord have me say something that I don't even like it when that people make up formulas out of it? I don't like formulas because there's no formula to it in the kingdom. And here the Lord's saying to me, say those words, I will walk without pain and play my game in Jesus' name. Why? Because it's speaking beyond what I see with my eyes, the pain I have in the back of my leg. And it says, God is bigger than these things. And he wants to assure me that I speak to my soul, my mind, my emotion and will and say, there's something more out there. There's something I need beyond that. I haven't failed because of this. There's too many times Christians feel like they fail because they're not healed, because they don't get a dollar bill, because things seem to be struggling. We feel those things and we just hold back and we stop because Satan doesn't fight fair. You haven't been fairly dealt with in this world. We live in a corrupt world. And here's our God saying, speak to your soul. Speak to your soul. Now, you won't do that without love. Because what the Lord really knows with all our heart is I'll preach the rest of my life in a chair if it means I get to preach the kingdom of God. But I believe he's going to heal me. And so every day that I have any kind of pain, I wait till that pain and I say, I will walk without pain. Why? Because I need to go beyond my mind. I need to go into the heart of his kingdom, his benefits, his package. That's where he's taking you. I have no doubt in my mind, this dumb sciatic nerve was there to teach me so many lessons. I was not learning on my own. What issues have you had in your life that the Lord is saying to you, I want to show you from these situations a greater understanding of me. I want to show you that you're not a failure. You're not a down. You're not down. You're not out. You haven't been discarded. Love never fails. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. My God has had to endure me in life. He's endured the things that I shout out with my mouth when I shouldn't. And criticized when I shouldn't be criticizing. Defending when he said he would be my defense. Yet he's endured all that because inside there's this love that he has for me. That he called me as a little boy of 4.5 years old and said, Ken, come to me now. That same love he pours out to every one of you. And he's calling you to receive it. Receive that kind of love. Not based on your hard work, your perseverance, your knowledge of the word. I'm not mocking those things. I want to learn the word. I want to have discernment. I want to be persevering. I want to know those things. But that's not the essence of why I want to serve my God. Because that would exalt me. Love eliminates me in the process. Allows me to just be focused upon him. And when you really love somebody, you want to magnify them. Not yourself. We've been on both sides of that love one time or another in our life. The side that didn't magnify and the side that did. But no, he always does. He always loves. So whether you are rich or poor, whole or incomplete in your body, he is still love. And that love is for all eternity. You just have to receive it. If you've never accepted, then right now you need to do that. You need to say, Father, I want you in my life. I bring you into my life. I accept you. Take control. But for those that maybe have done that, and now your worship is in other ways. You know, I don't care because I've been the one that's been kidding a lot about it through the years. But it wouldn't even matter to me if the Green Bay Packers were on TV today and not because of the national anthem. You know why it wouldn't matter to me? Because I don't care anymore. Will I watch some of the game today? Yes. I'm not saying don't watch games or whatever your rules of thumb are. I'm just saying the passion isn't there. I lived and died by a win or a loss at times in my life. I thought whenever the Packers won a Super Bowl, I was great for a whole year because I could relish in them winning. And that's the way they are around here with the Steeler fans. They're all, I got six rings. I got that. Where's the kingdom in all this? I'm not criticizing them. They don't know better. But we do. We do know those things are not our passion. They're our enjoyment. You enjoy them today. Enjoy it all you want, but don't make it your passion. Because you only have so much passion in your cup. And when you give it to something else, whatever that is, you don't have anything left for your God. I'm not criticizing the game. It's enjoyment. But it shouldn't be your passion. Him alone. Oh, I will walk without pain. And I will play my game at the end of February. In Jesus' name. If there's something that you felt convicted about, don't let it go. Don't just turn on the game today, you know? Seriously, deal with it. Just say, Lord, I want to turn this around. I want to change. I don't want to allow my mind, my emotion, and my will to be stronger than my spirit man. Your spirit man, let it rise up. Let your spirit man rise up. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and grant you his peace. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy your day.